Okay, we will now call the meeting of the Waterville Economic Development Authority to order. All members are present except Richard Davis. We have an approval of the agenda.
I'll make a motion to approve the agenda.
Is there a second?
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Agenda approved. How about make a motion to approve the minutes from the meeting of July 24th and August 3rd? I'll make that motion.
Second.
All approved?
Aye.
Aye.
Minute approved. First item on discussion is financing of a fire hall.
Call to order for the city council. All are present, including myself, Teresa Hill, Lisa Moran.
Fire hall finance discussion.
So Paul Donna has furnished you some information as you had requested about the different summary of the bonds, and then also information about debt limit and existing availability of debt. If you recall, when we spoke last time, the EDA lease revenue bond does not count into the debt limit. So you would be more concerned about debt limit if you were going to be looking at a general obligation or a capital equipment bond. He's laid out some of the existing debt that we have currently. I did do a spreadsheet, per se, kind of when we get down the road a little further about kind of like what debt payments and how they would affect projected property taxes. So I don't know if you have any real questions about what he's presented here. It's just kind of a recap. I know we talked about what debt was falling off. And he's kind of looked at a scenario and placed in some other placeholders with some upcoming potential debt.
Is that what these are?
So
projected obligations?
Yeah.
He didn't talk about the lease purchase method. Was his
the lease revenue bond? Yeah. Is that one you're talking about, Jason?
He's talking about all of these just relate to bonding, which is fine, but I don't see anything about lease purchase. Or maybe that's what he's talking about here, lease revenue?
Yeah, the lease revenue is where the EDA would hold the property and lease.
We would do the annual appropriation?
Correct. Yeah.
Is that how you guys financed your public works building?
Yeah.
It is.
Okay, that's what I thought.
Yeah.
Can I ask a question? What's the projected cost of this building?
So I'm going to take a shot in the dark, and Chris, you can come up and weigh in too. But I calculated just based off of rough information around $4.6 million. And that was, I don't have a spreadsheet, so to speak, that outlines all of them. I just applied their square footages to what's there. Have you calculated it out, Chris?
No, I haven't.
Okay. So I think before we were looking at 4.2 to 4.6, I think, or 4.7 originally.
I think that was one of our first numbers, was 4.1, 4.2.
Yeah. So that's what we were looking at, what you would be looking at for a possible bond. Part of the meeting tonight will be discussions around, do we want to pursue with a lease revenue, or I think we kind of came to that discussion or decision at the last meeting. Sounded like the majority was looking at if we were going to finance something, we would be doing the lease revenue option. And then from that, I think we need to look at what type of a budget the council and EDA is looking at to see what we can achieve with that dollar amount and look at scenarios as far as, you know, is the council willing to look at, you know, $5 million, a $3 million, and then that will go back to committee then, and committee will look at, can we build for that? Do we need to look at remodel again? Kind of go through those options of what would work. And then come back to council with their recommendation of what they feel would be better to fit within that budget the city council is looking at financing. So does that sound like a plan here, or?
Yeah. Okay. Paul quoted like on a 4% interest rate on a $2 million loan, it would be about an $80,000 a year levy on $2 million. So if we're levying for $4 million, that's $160,000 levy per year. What would that, I mean, how much would we have to increase our levy in order to meet something like that?
Well, you're going to be increasing your levy $40,000 per million. So if you look at four, it's going to be $160,000 that's going to need to be levied for principal and interest
right.
payments.
But I meant how much of a levy increase would it take to reach that amount?
Oh, percentage above what we have right now? I did not do that calculation because I think we were at our levy isn't set for this year, but I based it off of last year's I thought you were looking more for the tax impact of what it would be per households.
Yeah. Well,
so
that
I
too.
Did.
Well, that too, yeah.
That
oh,
too,
okay.
But
we
we're talking like a 10% right now just to kind of come into part of it, mm-hmm. and we still have to cut $800,000 out of the budget without, you know, having to increase another, make an increase more. So if you're putting in $160,000, you know, how big of a increase in the levy would it take to make up the $160,000?
So you're looking at a 10% increase now? Before,
yeah, possibly.
Before anything.
Considering this?
That's just basic what Teresa's got calculated in trying to figure out just part of it, you know, but then we still have to make cuts, huge cuts.
Are there any reserves?
Not really.
Not
enough
really,
that I'd be comfortable
expend.
To work with.
15%, rough, quick calculation.
On top of what we are.
For about a $4 million.
In addition to the 10.
Correct. So that is one thing that we have that I haven't got into either is I did not, in the deficit that we're looking at with the current budget, I did not put in any additional levy for the fire hall for 2024.
No.
Right.
So if we're looking at doing something, we would have to either do capitalized interest in there to make the payments for 2024 if you're looking at trying to do something, or you're working at doing your construction in 2024 with your first levy being hit in 2025. So, does that answer your question?
Yeah, I was just kind of curious what kind of, okay. what it would take per year to.
Yeah, so I did some calculations here, the best information I have available.
Thank you.
And this is assuming a few different scenarios. Tim, I gave you one, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you.
So what I did was just looking at off of Paul's scenario, $40,000 per million.
Mm-hmm.
And then I plugged in, the 4.5 million and a 5 million being, you know, the higher reach of that. I took some scenarios of what property taxable property values are and kind of calculated that out to the mill rates and what the increases would be. So there's other factors that would come into play as far as new construction, new building, and so on when that hits the taxes also. But a $100,000 home on $4.5 million, according to this calculation, is about $95 increase per year. And then you go up to $500,000, which would be about $477 per year. So about 18% on the $4.5 million and about 20% on the $5
million. And that's just for the fire hall?
Correct.
That would not take into consideration the other 10% you're thinking of.
Right. So this is just the amount. If I took today's, and I don't have values for this year yet because they're not available. So all I could use was a 2023 payable values. So, and just kind of calculating those mill rates out. So that's kind of what you would be looking at for an increase. So if you're targeting a $4 million project, you know, $3 million project, I took the higher ends so you could kind of see what the impact would be, and then whatever you do from there, of course, would lessen.
And it sounds like the property values are going to go up again.
So if property values go up throughout the whole city, then it kind of equates the same. You know, if everybody's showing a 10% increase throughout the whole city, you know, the taxpayer dollar is going to be about the same anyway. It's if you have high steeps, you know, high jumps on other values, like if you have an addition, of course, that's going to add value. But if all the residential homes all went up 10%, it's kind of just a redistribution of dollars. So does that make sense?
So in other words, the taxes wouldn't go up?
Not saying that. So there's a lot of other factors that come into play when you're looking at it, and that increased value and in construction is the big key part of it. So if you have a lot of increase in new tax, that takes tax burden off of your existing taxpayers, and now these new people that just constructed that $1 million home is now picking up part of that tax bill, whereas before they were not. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So that was the information that I believe was requested for us to bring forward. I would like to see some kind of a discussion on, you know, what the council, if they have a range that they would like to see for either construction or remodel, however the committee would wish to go. Something that the council feels, because I don't want to have the same scenario before as when the committee gets meeting and then all of a sudden we're thinking $2 million and it comes back $4 million.
Mm-hmm.
So it kind of sets parameters of what they can work within and what the council feels comfortable in issuing debt for.
The numbers you worked with, Teresa, to do your rough calculation, I know it was per square foot or whatever, but what were those numbers taken from?
Updated cost from a contract building that we were looking at before.
Okay.
Without saying names.
Okay.
Would $4.5 million be our top? Were we talking that was?
She said 4.6.
I did a rough calculation of 4.6, and that didn't really include furniture and fixtures. So that was the building, the square footage of the building. And it was the exterior improvements, but it didn't include like furniture and fixtures in there. So that's why I went from $4.5 million to $5 million as a demonstration.
Yeah, I would say if you're looking at a total turnkey, we're probably looking at about $5 million by the time you get the soft goods in there, furniture, finishings, you know, that kind of thing.
Well, yeah, some of that can be done gradually, not all of it, but
some.
I remember $2 million. Where did that number come from?
So 2 million is what we were hoping for at the beginning and what it was looking at based off of an old feasibility and kind of bringing that forward. So, and there was a difference between remodel. There was only a small difference between remodel and new construct. And then when we got into design phase, of course, we found out that everything is a lot more expensive than what we were anticipating.
Wasn't the $2 million about 3 years ago, though?
Yeah, about 2020.
It's a long time ago. We've been talking about this for...
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Architecturally, what are we basing this on? What plans? Have there been plans drawn up?
There was a... So the cost that I had, I didn't have square footages under Chris's. Chris has been doing some renditions after that. This was based off of the last one that a contractor had submitted to the committee. So it's not the original that the architect drew up. It was based off the square footage of a contractor that was looking at doing work.
Were we still considering this Morton type building, like the shop, or how were they gonna?
So that was the change between the architectural design to something more of a Morton type, steel type metal building. Yes, that's what this was based off of.
How much difference has to be done between what they have at the city shop versus for the fire hall? How much, you know, how much more space do they need, like for ins and outs? And I mean, size wise, is it comparable to the size of the city shop, this new building?
Chris, you want to weigh in on that one?
I think our plan is actually a little bit, because didn't Alan say at the budget meeting there it was like a 14,000 square foot building? And we're looking at a 12,000 square foot building. So it's a little bit smaller. But there are certain, to build a fire station, there are different guidelines that you have to follow compared to building a municipal building.
That's what I'm wondering. What else has to be done?
They have to have... Well, it's got to be sprinkled, it's got to be have alarms in it, it's got to have exhaust removal systems. What else does that have to have, I think? Got to have enough space for getting around your vehicles compared to what, you know, sometimes the city vehicles can park a little bit closer because of the quick response getting in and out.
Something with ventilation, too? Is there something with ventilation? Yeah.
Because of the carcinogens and stuff like that that's in our equipment.
Is that okay, sir?
Sure. That's both the ones.
So I'll circulate this. This is what I based some of the calculations off of.
Is that based on building on the land that the county donated to us?
Yes, it is.
So we've got all that groundwork for that.
That's included in that.
That's included in there. I mean,
there's
from the one contractor. So that's not going to be an issue for their type of building. We were looking at this type of building because it's not as heavy as a stand-up concrete.
So the updated prices that I was given were for office space, like 300 to 350 per square foot, apparatus space, 150 to 200.
Teresa, that's the other way around.
150 to 200 was apparatus building.
Was that what he said?
Office space
was
300 to 350.
Okay.
That's the update that was
to me. Okay, that's what it was. Okay.
Yeah. So I didn't look to see if they did something else with it. Outside improvements estimated $750,000 for asphalt, curb, concrete, soil, all of that good stuff. So I had like forward of $4.2 million, and then kind of put the footage calculations based off of that to come up to like that $4.6 million.
Sorry, what did we say the city shop was? About 14,000 square feet?
That's what he said.
This one, this drawing here, just the square footprint of it is 15.6.
Let me do this here. Maybe I punched the wrong number in.
What I saw was...
What are the dimensions on that?
193 feet long, 81 feet deep. Essentially a rectangle, according to these drawings.
I have it at 70 feet deep. This is what I was looking at.
So you may have done a rendition after that.
Okay.
That made it more narrow.
I had it like 70 by 175.
What was your qualification factor on that, Tracy? Do you remember?
This drawing is based on 14,590 square feet.
So it says office space of 300 to 350, apparatus space 150 to 200.
Is that per square foot?
Yeah, per square foot.
Okay. That's going to be more complicated than I want to try.
Yeah, so I tried to kind of apply those to the drawing when I did my calculation. And then I factored in outside improvements in structure. Structure alone is estimated between $3 and $3.3 million. And they're saying turnkey $4 to $4.2 million without furniture, fixtures, those kinds of things.
Yeah, once the building's up, there's a fair amount of technology and stuff that needs to go into the building over and above what we put into the shop, just because of the type of building it is. Radios and sprinkler systems, ventilation systems, the building's got to be heated correctly throughout the year. Air exchangers, plus they've got... air exchange systems for storage areas for the turnout gear and that kind of thing, too. So,
decontamination.
Yeah, it's not just a big shell of a building. It's more complex than that. That's why your cost, and part of your reason for your cost increase, you know, one type of building versus another.
How many trucks would that hold?
More than what we have.
Do we plan on getting more trucks to add to?
You never know.
I would say if you're going to build new, it would probably be wise to build in one extra bay for expansion room.
And for dish room.
Mm-hmm. That's just would be almost kind of a standard, you know. We want to have just this much extra in case.
Because we also house the township equipment.
Mm-hmm. And do they have plans to add more?
The trucks don't get any smaller, so.
No, I realize that, but is there a need for more trucks when there's only so many people to run them?
Possibly.
Who's going to run them?
Technology. They have no problem running them.
And when are you going to need a new fire truck?
Couple of years.
So I think that what I was hoping to get out of this is if the council had a rough idea of where their comfort zone is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then I think the committee will need to dig in and figure out what they can do with that, and if nothing is possible, then they'll need to report that back too.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you're talking to construct new that won't even house what you have to come into budget, that's not going to do you any good either.
No, right.
And, you know, if you're going to then have to look at doing remodel, is it going to fit your needs for the remodel again? You know, we did compare the remodel to that before and decided that the we were better off doing the new build because the cost of remodel was almost as high as the cost of new construct.
Yeah. To remodel, they don't have space anyway, right? To make any type of, gain any more space to remodel it, to put any more vehicles in there.
And no, we'd have to buy more property. Closer to the street and up.
Yeah, we'd have to do a major reconstruct on that building to really gain space, because part of it would have to be rebuilt to allow for adding a second floor onto it for office space and meeting rooms and that kind of thing.
You don't need bedrooms, do you?
You're better off building a new building.
So.
And you don't have to do
anything
for 30, 40
years. That's just a rough concept of what they were looking at.
This would be for 20 years,
I understand.
No, it's not necessarily. Most even volunteer stations now have sleeping quarters for either emergency management or if there's a major event going on, they want to be able to get people back there to rest up and head back in, depending on how long they're going to be.
One of the issues we had during the floods is people needed places to sleep because they were on duty all day long. And
we need to take that into consideration.
During the tornado, three of us slept down there because we had to man the generators to keep the lighting going, so we slept on the floor there.
And actually, bedroom space in those is extremely cheap.
Yeah, that's not a high cost.
Compared to a lot of the rest of it.
But also, I mean, there are things you could probably cut out if you needed to. But we, this is a plan.
Their figures were 150 to 200 a square foot and 300 to 350. So you can look at the lower end of their cost and the higher end.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And kind of see where you're at. But
I have a tendency to use the higher.
Really?
And we've
already gone up $500,000 mm-hmm. since, mm-hmm. in what, a year and a half since we last talked about it?
And how long would this be? How long of a finance plan would this be on the lease revenue?
So lease revenue is typically a 20-year.
Okay.
Is that what we have on the shop now?
We did a refinance on that. I'd have to see what we did for terms. I don't have that. I think I have so that gets paid off in 2034.
2034.
Yeah. That's when it's paid off. I don't have the
full
terms.
So there's one GO bond coming off in 2025. The $60,000, right? But the other ones aren't till 2030 and 2033, and then this one's 2034.
You have those all laid out because I did one from our levy, our bond sheets, too.
I can pass
the rest. So you can kind of see what they is, and then the debt service is on the right if you follow the columns. And this is just existing debt. This is not.
When are we actually going to start paying for this building?
So that depends.
Yep.
So right now I don't have anything projected for 2025 as a payment, or 2024 as a payment. We would be looking at probably 2025 as the first original payment, depending on how things go and what you decide would be a construction target. If we tried to build in an anticipated amount, you would be taxing, levying an extra $160,000 on this year in anticipation of bonding. And since we're not at that point, I chose not to put anything in the levy for a debt service payment. So we'd be looking at building that in 2025. And if you did it earlier, you would have to have capitalized interest included in your bond, which would bring that cost up a little bit more because it would have to make its own payment, basically.
So that would that you're saying that wouldn't go in the 2024 levy?
I do not have anything in the 2024 levy for a bond payment, no, for the fire hall.
So it'll start 2025.
Correct.
But you would have to levy it in 2025?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
If you were looking at constructing in 2024. So it depends on when you're looking at constructing and, you know, and then, of course, if you do the debt service, I think Paul talked about that before, is that we like to try to blend our payments in so that you don't have these huge spikes. So a lot of times principal may be a little less in the beginning. You'll pay a little more interest, and then you'll pick that up in a bigger chunk in the middle when some additional debt falls off. So when we go to actually doing those, we take a look at trying to keep the levy, anticipated levy, equal for debt service without those big spikes.
Does that work the same with the lease versus a bond?
Yep, so the difference between the lease option that we're talking is that EDA will actually hold that bond.
Okay.
And then the city council appropriates the debt service payment as part of its levy every year. So if the debt service payment is scheduled to be $90,000, there would be $90,000 in the general fund levy going to the EDA to pay off that debt, same as what we did
with
the shop. Yeah. So it'd be like a rent payment that would go go to the EDA to make those principal and interest.
They're the actual bondholders, but
the
actual tax burden is the same regardless.
Mm-hmm. What are we looking at for interest rates right now?
They were talking about 4. That's, I think, what he projected or talked about at the last. And that depends on ratings, too. And it'll fluctuate.
Yeah, I like to put these things in perspective when I look at these numbers. Thank you for getting these numbers out. But I think you guys probably have all been down in the fire hall. I mean, you can't move in there. We need to do something. The longer you wait, the more expensive it's going to get.
We need to build a new one, but the thing is that, okay, where do we start and where do we get into it?
But
the thing is, the lease bond is ideal.
Yeah.
And the thing is, you know, okay, we build in 24, we start paying our levy in 2025.
Yeah, and I wasn't quite finished yet, but that's okay. But what I was going to say, for me, putting it in perspective is, and I know most of you have houses that are more valuable than mine, but I'm looking at $10 a month for a new fire hall.
I was looking at it that way, the same way you said it.
Gladly,
it doesn't seem like that much money.
I would gladly pay $10 a month for a new fire hall. One less Diet Dr. Pepper a week for me.
It's just when we increase the levy 10-15%, people start screaming, not realizing how it's going to be. And he said with the lease revenue, we don't have to go through all the public hearings and all that kind of thing. Yeah. You just make the decision. But we also talked about letting the public know for public information hearings. So you want to know how much we're comfortable spending right now. And if it's $5 million, that would be $200,000, right, for a levy? To levy
five times 40
year?
Yep.
Pretty close.
Yep, 5 times 40. Yeah.
So that would be a pretty big chunk. But that once it's increased that amount, the first year, do we still have to increase that every year?
So it depends on your debt schedule. So the debt schedule, like I said, in the beginning, if you have some debt that is still on, you may want to look at not paying as much in principal your first year, and that could levy out. If you have like $60,000 that's coming off, well, that $60,000 that you may not have to levy in that year, to kind of make up that difference. So you can play around a little bit with the schedule to keep it more level. And then as you move forward, yes, you try to keep that so there's not a huge fluctuation in your years.
Okay.
So it would hit harder the first year that it comes on, or the second year, first and second years probably, and then depending on how you if you front end load that or front load that or whatever you're going to do, and you kind of play with those schedules.
So in 2033, when this one goes off, then you have that much more money to apply towards the principal.
Right. So you'd kind of factor that in, yes. And then you look at your long-term debt, what existing projects you're looking at, too. So, you know, for an example, and from 21 to 22, the net increase was like $4,000 for your levy that it changed based off of what was there. But the debt service side, you can see the differences in the years on the right. So you have your totals and then the increase from the previous year. You know, there's some 70s, 13,000s, somewhere in that area. So they will fluctuate. But our goal is usually to try to keep those as consistent as possible. When debt comes off, that's usually when we look at some of our bigger projects of introducing back in.
Well, I wouldn't, if you're looking for us to come up with kind of a cap or a comfort level on this, I definitely wouldn't want to shoot it short if we're going to look at building in a building, which I still think is, sorry, Sue, I still think is the right way to go, but we need to look at people's ability to cover this throughout the city, because it's...
That's a big jump.
That's asking quite a bit for some.
So are we still considering referendum bond where the public gets to vote on it?
It wouldn't be a vote on the lease revenue?
No, I understand that. How about referendum bond rather than lease...
Lease purchase.
Yeah.
That would go against the city's... debt load, which could, over time, limit our other borrowing power in case we had something else we needed to, if we had to build another city hall or something else.
Or even street projects.
Yep. It could really...
Street projects alone fit into that.
Right. But having the ability to increase it, that just ups the... The bottom line is this taxpayer is going to get burdened with it.
They are either way.
Mm-hmm. Either way. Yeah. So, I don't know. I just think about the, when people find out that we're looking at a 10% levy now, just for instance, and an additional 15, can you imagine what the reaction is going to be to that?
I can, believe me.
That's why they're talking, having informational meetings to explain it to people, where Teresa could give them the information, it's only going to cost them so much a month, or like they figured out
but
that way they can get it. I mean, they understand how the increase comes, but they have to know. That's why we're having these meetings together now, so the information comes out both sides, not like it did the last time where the people thought they weren't getting the information. But it's to find out how comfortable we are with spending $5 million this way. And then what happens, you know, do we have any future big street projects or water projects coming up in the distant future that's going to need another bond? I mean, do we have something in the works in the next couple years or...
Well, you have your fire truck, and that's been 2 years, and that's about 1.5, did you say, Chris?
Well, right now it would be 1.1, but in 2 years it's going to be 1.4.
Okay, so you're looking at that.
So that would be another bond.
Yeah, and then we are working on some projects that would be assessment-driven also, but there's still going to be city costs in there. And if you do a general obligation bond, you're required to do the payment schedule that's out there. So any type of street projects that you would be looking at. I can't say anything because there's not anything that the council has put in stone yet.
Yeah.
So there are things that we see maybe coming on the horizon, but nothing that has materialized.
It's how much debt we can afford to put on everything.
And that kind of debt would be... you know, that would impact your ability. You know, that brings down a tax. I will learn how to talk yet. That gets added on to what you have in existence, and that hits your debt ceiling then.
Yeah.
That goes towards your debt ceiling.
We're still going to need a new fire station.
What is our debt ceiling now?
Is that what that? Yeah, he has that in your projection.
Six or something.
Yeah.
5.1.
And you're nowhere near it.
5.1 available.
And you're nowhere near it.
No.
So if this is a 20-year finance on the new fire station, we're thinking it's going to last 40 or 50 years?
If you build a building that won't last 40 or 50 years, we're wasting our money.
Right.
So
absolutely wasting
that's what
our
we're
money.
Looking for on this. So our decision is going to give at some point 20 or 30 years of no fire station payments. That's where we need to get.
Yeah. You still have maintenance.
You have maintenance.
We still ended up with a fire station that's too small over here that started as a gas station.
Yeah.
That's our problem over here, even with a remodel, is it's really going to require a major reconstruction to make that building work close to what we need it to do. We beat that horse to death. You know, gives it just a facelift it needs. We need parking. We need additional office space. You need additional bay space, which is going to require adding a second floor. In order to do that, it requires a major reconstruction of the building.
They have a space to switch from their clothes to their gear that's about 10 by 12. Yeah. And they literally drop their stuff right on the ground and step into other. It's not ideal conditions, and we're having trouble with employee retention all over the place. So,
another thing that would happen here too, as part of the budget for this year, I think Chris has $100,000 in remodeling things because there are things that need to be done. But if we build a new fire hall, you know, then I would propose we get rid of that. So that's $100,000,
or at least
saved for this year. Yeah, or we might need something, but most of that would probably.
We can get by with. Yeah, I mean, if you talk about your $800, that would go away because we wouldn't stick another dime into it.
You could get by for a year until we build it.
That is just for the history. That is a 70-year-old building, and the fire department has been in there for exactly 50 years since this last July, I think. Is when we moved in that in 1973. We moved in that building. I remember that. My dad was the mayor at the time. And then we added on to it, but. So we've been there 50 years. We got, you want to be in a building for 50 years, we got our 50 years out of it. The thing that hasn't been discussed ever, what do you do with that? So do you sell that?
Yeah.
You sell that building, you get that on the tax roll?
Well, we've got other considerations too, though.
But that's one thing, though. You know, do you repurpose
it's a possibility.
The city? But, if you do, if there's a buyer out there, sell it. Don't you get that on the tax roll?
Depending on what we would get out of it versus what its value to the city is.
Right. But you know.
So when you take the dollar amount that we're comfortable with back to the committee, what's the next step that the committee does?
So then the committee will get back into a design phase and look at, you know, what their concept design is, what its cost is running now, if they need to look at, you know, saving space somewhere, scaling back, they'll be looking at the whole package and try to bring something to you that would be within your budget.
Okay.
But the bidding environment will have its own thing too.
Right.
But all they can go off of is, you know, what prices are now, what they're going for, you know, what their design equates to dollars.
Hopefully by bidding it in the winter.
We might save a little bit on that. I guess if I were to throw a number off the cuff here, I would say we're looking at comfort level to do it right, no less than 4.5.
Yeah.
Probably aiming for the 5 and hoping that it would be less than that. I can't see building something like this without doing it right. Otherwise, we're throwing money away. And if we're just going to throw money away, then we might as well rebuild what they've got and just stay there. I'd rather throw less money away than more money away.
I have two things. Excuse me, are you?
Yep, I am.
So I understand there will be informational meetings or hearings or whatever before you make a final decision, or there won't be, no matter how we finance.
No, there will be.
Oh, definitely will be.
There will be.
Okay, before this is a go, then there will be informational meetings.
There's no way the committee's going to let that fly without meetings.
That was one of the questions. And what about, you mentioned you've got extra space right now, the way the design is drawn up, for, say, an additional truck or two or whatever?
I think we had...
The way the diagram looked, anyway.
One bay extra on there.
Okay.
Who has that?
I don't know where it went.
May Backton. Oh, what?
That drawing.
The drawing.
Maybe it's May Backton.
It showed one bay extra.
So it wouldn't make much sense to, say, cut back on the initial design or building with making it so that you could add on in a few years if you had to.
We could do that.
It might be a stupid question, but I just...
No, that's a good question. It's a good question. We can do that. The only caveat to that would be the cheapest addition you're ever going to do...
Is at the time.
...is at the time. Because everything's mobilized, it's right there. They don't have to lay shovels in the ground again. That being said, there's nothing saying that we couldn't.
Right.
And I think that we talked about the idea of possibly adding on to that building down the road, if need be.
Is the property big enough to make those kinds of plans?
Right.
I think we, yep. We're not landlocked there like we are here. One of their big things down at the existing fire hall and lack of truck space is they don't have parking space. Zero. Mm-hmm. They don't have enough parking space for what they've got right now.
Yeah.
For the firefighters that show up.
I mean, you're talking about their vehicles?
Mm-hmm. So they've got guys that are parking out on the street and running across the street and everything else. And mm-hmm. Yes, we're safe, but bad things happen when guys are focused. And depending on what's going on, all it takes is one person to dart across the road thinking about what his next steps are when he gets into the building and somebody else driving by and not seeing
him. It's got to be tough for you to even back out and go into those spaces when the whole thing is full.
I don't know if you believe it or not, but First Street is actually a busy street. They come out of the
man.
You're waiting to get out onto the road, you know, our truck, our big truck, only not quite half of it can be on the apron before it hits the street. You know, the rest of it's in there, you know, you got to wait for cars and all that, so you don't, and then trying to back in, you know, you got to wait. And
yes,
it's just, we're, fortunately, we haven't had anything.
Yeah.
But, you know, like Tim said, when that pager goes off, it's a different animal that goes off in you. Your adrenaline changes, and especially the bigger the scene, the scenario, you know, it's...
So, I guess what we're saying is the property is big enough to do what we need to do. If we have to scale it back to make this go, we certainly can. You know, we can add on later if we need to. We just want to take everything into account. This is kind of at that stage where you throw out your dream list and say, this is what we really need.
Is $4.5 million going to cover that? Or should we put it
I
at five?
I think we should start out at five.
Yeah.
And
tell
them to do what they need, but don't go overboard to this certain extent. You know, don't go to the extreme, but do what you need. And then try to keep it under, not over the five. So if their design can't come in under the five for sure, hopefully under even four,
mm-hmm.
You know, but they have to know a number in order to start the design. So if we don't have a design, and then it's always to come back, but as long as you've come out with those numbers at least up to five, I think we should start with the five. and try to do what only is needed and necessary, you know, not any extravagant things, but the space for your washers and your everything that you need, but don't go nuts.
Well, believe me, this is going to affect my taxes quite a bit, and I'm trying to do this, nothing opulent or anything. I want space. I want it so that we can all get ready in our gear instead of having to wait your turn to get back there, because, and I would love to, if you two haven't been in there, I'd love to take you down there and show you.
I was going to contact you.
I will gladly take you through there, because when you're trying to get dressed and you got to wait your turn, well, the truck's ready to leave. Yep. Well, I'm still trying to get dressed yet.
I want to throw this out here, too, is that Chris has really been trying to make this as cheap as possible. He's come up with lots of options. Mm-hmm. But I know for sure, Tim, and you have been looking at how to do what's best. And again, you don't want to build something that's so small you outgrow it right away.
Right. Medford
built their new school, and guess what? They said, we should have added 10 more rooms.
Yeah.
So now they're thinking that new school, which is really nice, they already have to add on.
Yeah.
And they're going to be adding a whole bunch on there, because they planned it at just, we're going to minimum. This is what we're going to do. So I think it's good that we have a plan with a little extra. I'm not saying we should see what you can cut out of that.
Right. Mm-hmm. And we haven't had a number or a design,
no,
really, per se, from a builder. We're just going off what I draw on my drawing table.
Yeah, no.
You know,
yeah.
So it's like you have to have so many square feet per truck, and you're supposed to be able to drive like a golf cart around that vehicle, that truck that you have in that building. Yeah. And us fat guys can't even get between some of our trucks right now.
I was just going to say, when I walked through, I walked through it a couple of times, and I bumped things just walking through. Maybe that's a hint.
Yeah, so it's like, okay, when they moved in there in 1973, do you remember where the fire station was down here in the alley? I remember that as a kid.
Where?
Did they have room for one truck?
There's two trucks in there.
Where was that?
Maybe three. Where the behind the old Luthold's, next to Lake Country Sales?
Yeah.
That parking lot?
Yeah.
That's where the fire station was.
And the jail.
And the jail, yeah. City Hall was upstairs. I remember that.
That must have been interesting.
It was...
before my time.
I guess...
very tight.
Here. Before my time. Here.
I'd like to see the $5 million and let us go back as a committee and find out what can be done, given the drawings that we've made. For, you know, can we even fit within that parameter? If we can't, then we need to completely go back to the drawing table. And if not, then we can move forward and say, all right, now, what kind of numbers are we really looking at here? And that'll give us a better idea of where our tax implications are and that kind of thing.
You can't really go to public information until you actually have a design and a cost.
Right. Right.
Because otherwise, right, it's fruitless.
Yeah,
we don't have anything to show them yet.
No. Okay. So, I mean, we've got to get the design.
But all along, I've been saying that this has to be absolutely transparent. There's no way you can put up this kind of a building without...
100%. I have it all planned out. There'll be open houses and, you know, drawings. And we'll have to come down here and look, you know. You open it up to them, let them come in and look. If you want to see what it is, this is what it is. This is why we need a new one. This is where we want to put it.
Who does the drawings?
Depends on who the builder is.
It'll be architect.
They have their own
whoever
architect.
Whoever bids it, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Does that be an architect or does that be a builder?
You have to have a design first in order to have somebody bid.
But doesn't necessarily have to be drawn by an architect.
Correct. It doesn't have to be drawn by an architect.
It does or does not?
Like Jen said, we should have some very good plans.
Yeah,
you're going to have to have electrical. You're going to have all that for that signing. Anybody to even be able to bid, you know, they have to know all the specifications and everything. So you're still going to have something drawn.
So the one you passed,
the one vendor that we've been talking with for a couple of years now, does all of that.
Is that the one you passed around? So that's from that.
Yeah. But if it's something like this, can you have one specific vendor? I mean, they'd have to bid it, correct?
It has to be bid
because it's
correct.
Public. So
and
I
you
mean,
have to the vendor has to be able to build this kind of a building. You know, they have to have, and couple of them have fire knowledge people on their team. Like the one company does have one, some don't.
In order to go out for bids, so you're going to have plans and specs and everything drawn up ahead of time to even have anything bid. So pretty much done by an architect, right? Didn't we have, I mean...
Yeah, who does that?
That plan that was drawn up, what was that,
BKB?
Can that be used for anything, or would it have to be...
Doesn't that plan belong to us? Did we pay something for it?
Yes, I think the committee would have to look at kind of which route they wanted to go.
Okay.
And if it's
because that was different materials outside.
Did shoot a price on a metal-type structure because they could design something like that, too. Yeah. But that's part of what the committee is going to have to work together and find out. There's a couple other variables out there, too, of how they would look at proposing... You know, the bidding process to happen, or construction manager, no construction manager, mm-hmm. Those kinds of things would all be part of their discussion as a presentation of
that drawing. Though could be our base, right?
Yeah. A lot of what we've done so far is what we call conceptual drawings. Mm-hmm. They might have dimensions and sizes on them, but they're not specific enough for a build. They're just a concept. Here's what mm-hmm. we're thinking. After that, we can take our concept drawings and pass them off to someone who can actually draw the specs in to pass this off for bidding and that kind of thing.
Oh, that's what we used for the
correct.
Bidding.
Correct. The drawings that we have so far are nowhere near detailed enough for bidding purposes. But we have been working. We started out working with an architect, is what BKB was? Yes. And we own those concept plans now, and they're still willing to work with us, as far as I know. So we don't have to go over and reinvent the wheel if we decide to go with that architect. If we decide to take our concept plans to another builder, we've got some groundwork laid. We don't have to start over and reinvent the wheel. But they do have to be drawn by someone qualified to do this kind of thing.
How much have we spent with that other architect company already? What was that? That was quite a bit, wasn't it, already?
I would have to get back with you on that.
Because we went by steps with them, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would have to get back. I don't have that memorized.
Yeah.
So, I'd have to look it up and get back.
I don't even remember roughly what it was.
But I know it increased with each step that they wanted to go through.
Correct.
So
yeah, it did. But that's one of the things we got to get rid of. We got to let's go. Quit spending money that we don't need to and go to it.
Right.
Yeah.
Instead of having it redone.
Well, and that's why we did what we did with that builder, so that we actually own all the work that they've done so far. We could go to them and say, "Cough it up. That belongs to us."
And we could use that for.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. That's why we did what we did.
So your
committee has been looking to the future on this all along. We aren't just throwing money around. We've been doing it smart. But we haven't gotten to a point yet where we've got any kind of numbers that we can really throw out. So, and I think that's kind of what we're getting to now.
Yeah, well, we've been hesitating, too, because we know the climate is, kind of against it, in some ways. Yeah. But something that we need, I hear that. Believe me, people talk to me. I know this won't go over real big for a lot of people, but it's something we need.
Who's on the committee? You're on, obviously. And
Roy, and myself,
Roy,
Chris.
Tim.
Teresa.
Chris. Jeremy.
And two of my officers.
Yeah.
Okay. Matt. And who was the other off the top of your head?
That was it. Hmm? Just the three of us.
Okay.
And we have a lot of hours in onto this.
Yeah, it's gone on long enough. We need to get something done and get it going.
Yeah.
So when you get this stuff to the committee and they meet, how long before more information comes back?
I can't say that. Because they're going to need to really dig in and look, and they're going to want to present something to you that they're confident in.
Okay.
They're not going to want to, in my opinion, they're not going to want to continue to give you this sketch or this sketch and this sketch. They're
right,
going to want to
right,
nail it down.
Until they get something valid.
Something that they're really going to endorse and be behind.
That we can come back and say, okay, this is it, and this is where we're going, and this is what it's going to cost, and this is what we have to do with it.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing is, the lease bond is the ideal thing to take care of it,
yeah.
to ease the burden for everybody who lives in this community.
Yeah.
So I don't have a timeline on it.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know how long it's going to take to get through that process. It could take a month. It could take 6 months.
Yeah, and then you run into time of construction, but then... I mean, will we still be levying in 25? You know, how long that process is going to take to get everything decided, you know, to try to get it even under construction in order to levy. So, yeah, that's all.
How long do you think the construction phase would take, just a guess? A year?
About. Less than a year. But
the one company said about 6 months, 6 to 8 months. And materials are readily available now, so that's not an issue. Steel is a little bit tough to get, but windows.
Yeah, ideal is to build in 24, to start your levy in 25.
And I know this is as big a shock to me as it is to anybody else. These are bitter pills to swallow, but... We need to start looking forward to what we're going to do. And like I say, if we can't do it within parameters, then we got to start over and come up with a completely different plan. We do have to do something. But if we can't do this the right way, then we need to narrow that down, throw that out the window, and start from something else.
One thing about a remodel, and we discussed that with the architect too, is you start remodeling, at what point do you stop? Where's the remodel point that you take off and don't? But what do you do in the meantime?
Yeah.
I mean, you have to have some place to put all that.
You couldn't operate.
No, you can't.
Well, we can, but we're going to have to either lease space or create space somewhere for all of that.
Remodel is not the answer to that.
But I don't know where you would find
space. Where are you going to expand? Do you have no room to expand it?
No.
So.
You have nowhere to go.
I wasn't even thinking about that. Yeah, that would be
where do you
almost
go?
Impossible.
We'd have to lease a building about the size of Tom's shop to get those guys out of where they're at.
Yeah.
If we're going to remodel.
And where are you going to find one of them?
But they wouldn't get a building big enough to house the equipment anyway.
No.
There's no place to
nothing
go.
Nothing in town.
Even if you go past the alley, you're still not, you have no room.
No. Mm-hmm. And we've got the land that was donated to us by the county. We need to take advantage of that and use it and everything and get everything located in that one area.
Do you need...
And so you put a $5 million cap on it and then... See how you can work down to maybe get it down to 4.2. You know, the thing is that you got to have a level to work from to get down. And the thing is that you got builders who will work with you. You got architects who will work with you. But we need to make a decision, okay, here it is. And I look at it that you put a cap of $5 million and then let's get down to where it is so that we can properly explain to it if anybody wants to come out to a public meeting.
Do you need motion from the council to set this number, or?
So I would like a motion from the council endorsing the limit of what they would be willing to look at repayment to the EDA on. If that makes sense.
I'll make a motion that we set our limit at $5 million at this point.
I'll second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
So I do want to add my one piece, and I was trying to get it in earlier. So keep in mind that the numbers that you were given are based off of assumptions.
Yep.
When we get to the point where we're getting closer to where we're going to be bidding, we're going to have more statistical data available for the residents at the time.
Yeah.
We'll know more what values are, what rates are going to be. So this is just a planning piece. So I don't want anybody to say, you know,
this is
2 years from
cost.
Now you said it's only going to cost me this. So this is a snapshot in time and just with various assumptions.
Many assumptions.
That's a good way of putting it, a snapshot. Just,
Now we need to go to work and put it together and get it all laid out properly so that there's no misconceptions by anybody.
And we will be, as a committee, we'll come back to the EDA with some sort of plan also. We have to present to the council anyhow.
Yep.
So that'll have plans and numbers, maybe some timelines and, you know, that kind of thing. And then we need to work on our public input meetings and go from there. So
the biggest thing I want to do is have an open house down there and have some conceptual drawings and come in here and see this is what we have, this is what we want, what we would like to do. And then they can see why we need to do what we need to do.
It's several of them.
Several of them.
Because most people don't even know what's in there. They have no clue.
No.
And every time I walk in the door, I go, oh, God.
There's a lot of stuff in that building.
Yeah. I wanted to see the problem.
So I think we'd be looking for a motion for council to adjourn.
So we are going to adjourn the council from Sue's meeting, EDA meeting.
I'll make a motion that we adjourn the council portion of this meeting.
I'll second it.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Do we need a motion to adjourn the EDA meeting? Do we have anything to
discuss? Yes, we do.
Okay. I'll make a motion to adjourn the EDA.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Sue and Jason and Chris, thank you for coming.